In early April, Pittsfield, Massachusetts City Councilor John Kroll submitted a request to the city for a report on ShotSpotter, a gunfire detection system installed in the spring of 2017. Pittsfield, like many cities its size, has grappled with spikes in violent crime, even as many of its neighborhoods undergo revitalization. Police Chief Michael Wynn sat down with WAMC this week to talk about ShotSpotter, the new police outpost in the West Side neighborhood, the nascent Pittsfield Police Advisory and Review Board, and more.
ShotSpotter is an acoustic detection, gunfire detection system that we've had in the city for not quite 2 years. We installed it in the spring of 2017, and we've had one full year of deployment and nearly 1 second year of deployment. We're waiting for the reports from the vendor on year two. ShotSpotter is deployed in a undisclosed 3-square-mile area, pretty much centered on our downtown area, with coverage in both the West Side and Morningside. And based on the information that was gathered and prepared in response to Councilor Kroll's petition, what we've been able to show with not quite 2 years worth of data is that about 25% of the time that gunfire occurs within the detection area, we're not receiving calls from citizen reporters. So with that delta, with that difference between gunfire incidents and reported gunfire incidents, ShotSpotter is getting us to a significant number of calls that would otherwise go unreported.
Do you think that also suggests that maybe there is another effort that could be made to get those people to communicate with the police department?
So we're always talking to the community about the importance of reporting, see something, say something, being involved in a good neighbor. But there's, when we were going through the kind of courtship period with ShotSpotter and they came out and met with us, there's a variety of reasons that people don't report. It ranges from things like some people just don't recognize gunfire for what it is. They think it's fireworks or a car backfiring. To the far extreme of apathy in some neighborhoods, people become so used to gunfire that they don't bother to report. But one of the ones that we hear frequently is people hear it but figure out somebody else will report. And so they don't take the time to stop what they're doing because they figure their neighbors will call, and their neighbors figure they'll call, and as a result, nobody calls. So some reports are always going to fall through the cracks because of behaviors like that. And the acoustic sensors, they don't have an opinion. If they detect it, they report it.
With the data you've collected from ShotSpotter and your experience with it so far, would you like to see it expanded in its use in the city?
So as I said at the Public Health and Safety Subcommittee, based on the results from this point in time, all things being equal, if we had all the funding that we needed and everything was in place, I would like to see it expanded. I think that based on the mapping of the coverage area, we're not quite covering the entire West Side and Morningside. It's, the coverage area was based on previous 5-year calls for service and crime reports, and calls for service and crime reports move chronologically. So if we could double the coverage area, I think that we would have more adequate coverage of impacted neighborhoods. But I certainly want to see the existing coverage area continue.
Speaking of the budget, how much would go into making that expansion?
Rough figures, it's about $200,000 a year per coverage area to maintain the system. And up until this point in time, the entire deployment and the previous 2 years were privately funded. We're continuing to seek partners for additional private funding, but even if we were to maintain the same partners and they were to come on board, if we were to expand it, it would potentially be $200,000 a year in city operating funds plus any private funding we could obtain. If we don't expand it, we're probably going to have to incur some of the continuation costs with city operating funds.
After a lot of discussion in the community, the police department has just opened up a new outpost in Pittsfield's West Side neighborhood. Tell me about that. Where are we at with that project?
So Lieutenant Tommy Dolly from the day shift is actually the program manager for that project. He and Captain Kirchner were down on Columbus Ave for what has been described as a soft opening yesterday. I wasn't involved in that. There will be a more public grand opening at some point in the future that will be scheduled by Habitat for Humanity and the volunteers. We're in a good place. It's a different approach to community-based deployments. And as I said from the outset when we talked about this at the Westside meeting at Conte Community School, for this to work, it's going to have to be a partnership between the community and the police department. And because we can't provide full coverage for staffing in an outreach office, we need to make sure we have community volunteers. It sounds like, based on yesterday's small event, that they've got adequate coverage right now, that they're comfortable with 3 days a week. They think they could expand that to more, but they're going to start and build up to it. And we will obviously have officers there for office hours and be responsive when their volunteers have questions and call us. And you know, we'll see how it goes. It's a work in progress.
What is the outpost going to offer people on the west side? When a resident walks in, what are they going to be able to access at the outpost?
So based on the community input, you know, what we're trying to do is provide an option or alternative for people who either do not want to be observed coming in and out of police headquarters or can't necessarily make it. They have transportation issues, they have childcare issues, it's more convenient for them to stay in the neighborhood. So the volunteers have been trained to take a variety of reports and provide us with a variety of information and to file those reports so that they get into the PD system in a timely fashion. They've also been trained to answer some questions about our processes and some of our organizational structure. If somebody needs to file a crime report in real time, there's a terminal kiosk set up there that is basically attached directly through our online desk officer reporting system that they can fill in the crime report right there, and it will upload to our record management system in real time, which you can do from home. But again, if you don't have a home computer or you're not aware of our online reporting system, you may not know that you can do that, and the volunteers can walk them through that process.
What's your ultimate hope for the Westside Outpost? What do you hope it offers people in the community and your department as well?
Our hope is that this answers some of the concerns from the community and that the community will define the mission of the outpost. Again, we can work from headquarters, we can work from our cruisers, but when we are going to partner with the community, that sometimes requires a toehold in the neighborhood. So we'll take our direction from the volunteers and the residents.
Another recently launched initiative after a lot of conversation is the city's Police Advisory and Review Board. With just a few meetings under its belt, where is the board at and what can we expect from it in the coming months?
So far, it's been very positive. They're still in their training phase. They've received their first official assignment, I suppose you would call it, as Councillor Kroll's petition was simultaneously referred to them when it was referred to Public Health and Safety. So, you know, they've had a couple meetings where they've had general training on the organization of the police department. They've had trainings on open meeting law and public records law, their conflict of interest. We're going to have some training later today on internal affairs and the internal affairs process, as well as the ShotSpotter review that was referred to them. They've got a little bit more training that they've got to complete, and they're starting to schedule their ride-alongs. So it's been very positive so far.
Looking past the ShotSpotter, how will the next round of things be brought to the board for review?
So under the terms of the ordinance, if we're working active internal affairs or closed internal affairs investigations, I have 60 days from the close of an investigation to report out to them on that case, and they can receive complaints that might result in an internal affairs investigation. So once their training is complete, I would imagine that they'll start receiving complaints as necessary, and we've got a couple less than 60-day-old cases that are ready to be reported to them once they're ready to take that process on.
It's campaign season in Pittsfield, and there's already been a lot of discussion about the city's ability to handle crime. Are you confident in the Tyer administration's ability to handle violent crime in Pittsfield?
You know, the Tyer administration has been great supporters of the police department and of our personnel, and I can't ask for anything more than the support we've gotten from this. I'm not going to get into a political discussion. That's not part of my job. But, you know, this administration has been incredibly supportive and has supported us in our mission. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that contribute to quality of life issues and crime issues. And many of those factors are beyond the control of local government. So we're working not only with our local administration, but with our state and federal partners as necessary. And, you know, I understand that it's a campaign topic, but it's a bigger topic than should be handled during a local campaign.
Last month, the county DA, Andrea Harrington, unveiled a new task force and a new initiative to handle sexual assault and domestic violence. Has the Pittsfield Police Department yet participated in any of the trainings that she promised as a part of that initiative?
We have an officer assigned to the steering committee, and I'm not aware that the trainings have actually started yet. I know that Officer Callahan, who is our domestic violence liaison to the Elizabeth Freeman Center, is involved in that process. We do regular domestic violence trainings, including regular trainings with the EFC, so I don't know that the new task force is going to change our training guidelines all that much. It may enhance it.
Excellent. Chief, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. No problem.